Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity and sin. We all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
When you look at the time,
it's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. This feels better, doesn't it? This is the right day for mailbag. All week long, we've been opening up the mail courtesy of you. Today is the day we traditionally do it, so this feels right. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org. Oh boy. Jimmy?
Yes.
In case you didn't know this, here's a word to the wise. If you're going to do some talking, don't have a piece of chocolate right before you start. Oh boy. I could blow bubbles right now. It wasn't chocolate. Remember Josh Williamson came in from England? He brought a Cadbury, I believe, chocolates, this big tin of them. And I just gave in for the first time. And it wasn't chocolate. It was a caramel chocolate. Does that make, can you even do that? That's like saying vanilla strawberry. It was actually, it was the texture of chocolate, but it was caramel. Oh, man, that's good eating. You can also text 877-282-2337.
Okay, we start with Isaac, who has texted in, Todd, how should believers cope with the deaths of unsaved family members and friends?
It's hard. How do you cope? Well, of course, we keep doing what we always keep doing, and that is relying on the Lord. But that is a more grievous funeral. I'm sorry, that's just harder. It's sad when you lose a loved one who's born again. When you lose a loved one who's not, that's just weeping. It's all that is, and finding comfort in your Lord. Now, this is not in reference to the individual who just wrote in, because it's kind of a generic sort of question. This is why we need to be evangelizing our loved ones. But I'll make you a deal. You evangelize my loved ones, and I'll evangelize yours. Can we cut that deal? Because that would be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? Because one of the most difficult things to do is to witness to somebody that you grew up with or somebody that you love. Speaking of Thanksgiving, are you ready? Do you have a strategy in mind? Do you have to witness to your loved ones on Thanksgiving? No, I you don't have to, but wow, oftentimes it's an opportunity, isn't it? So try perhaps to persuade yourself this year that you're not going to wait for somebody to provide an opportunity, meaning you're not going to wait for somebody to say, so, I understand you're a Christian. Can you explain the gospel to me? Don't wait for that because you're not going to get that opportunity. But if they're coming to your home, especially if you're going into their home, I think that's maybe a different set of rules. But if they're coming into your home, the prayer could be gospel-centered. The giving of thanks. Hey, before we indulge in this feast, would like to read from the Bible to offer thanks to the God who provided it. Oh, that's another opportunity. You're out on the back deck talking to a loved one. Hey, haven't talked to you in a while about this. Where are you at with, you know, eternal things? And you make an opportunity to share the gospel. Now, having said that, should you feel like a horrible Christian if you don't witness? I'm tempted to say yes, but no, you shouldn't. What should you do if you've got hard relatives coming over, meaning it's really difficult to witness to them? Love them, be kind to them, enjoy them, especially if you've got relatives coming over that are really wayward. They have wandered off into a lifestyle that's really, it's like, oh, what do I do with these people? You love them. They're your relatives. Love on them and make the most of every opportunity. personally, if we could switch chairs, you come to my house, you do that for me, I would do that for you, because that's just easier, isn't it? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Teresa. Todd, we're going to another state to visit our nephew in about a month, and we wonder if we should go to the church he attends while we're there. Their church,
here it comes.
Their church leadership believes that it's fine to have women pastors, although their current pastor is a male.
Well, that's good. If they're Orthodox, I think you can go in that configuration. I personally would struggle if it were a female pastor. Even if it's Orthodox, I think that is such a clear violation of a really straightforward prohibition in the Bible that would indicate that that's a church that, while perhaps Orthodox on paper, isn't as robustly Orthodox in practice. But if they say the church offers, they would allow that, but currently they're not doing that and they're Orthodox, I think I could go. Jimmy, would you have any, I'd have some hesitation, but I think I could go. Could you?
Maybe.
Well, that's hardly helpful.
I would have some reservations for sure.
Right. But everything they're doing is Orthodox. They're not wonky. You disagree with them on that issue. Would you go to that church? Okay. So
maybe I'm misunderstanding what you're saying. You're saying the configuration in the question where there's not a female pastor.
That's right, currently.
Oh, yeah, I could go. Yeah.
That was the question. You read it.
I just misunderstood how you asked it.
I didn't ask it. You asked the question.
When you asked me.
Could you? 877-282-2337. I oughta.
This is from Anonymous. Recently, Todd, you talked about churches that preach sin. I've noticed that my church does not. Any advice on how I can discuss this with my pastor?
Wow. All right. Do you hear this? Might not be able to find it while we're talking, but I know in this stack of stories, somebody wrote an article saying the number of churches that are no longer preaching about sin anymore. And I can't remember who, if it was a Barna study or whatever it was. But basically, the observation was churches refuse to preach about sin. And that's a trend? That is a horrible trend, because that's what our religion is about. Not sinning, but having our sins forgiven. What do you have to share with somebody if it's not about your sins being forgiven? Well, most likely it devolves into life hacks, application without any foundation. You really don't have a Christian church. We are the ones who specialize in dealing with sin. Furthermore, you've got the whole issue of sanctification, which is what the Christian life is about, growing in Christ's likeness, motivated because he has been so good to us. What do you have to share? Do you ever correct, rebuke, exhort? All of the things that elders are commanded to do. I don't know how you can be a church if you're not talking about sin. Josh, the chocolate bearer, he was sharing that he was at a something, not to get all specific. He was at a thing, a conference of some sort. He said, and it was a preacher in Great Britain from an evangelical church. And he was preaching on a text in the Old Testament. And Josh observed, everything he said, we would affirm. Everything he said. But a rabbi could preach the exact same sermon in his synagogue. Then it wasn't a Christian sermon. It maybe was accurate theologically, but Job points to Jesus. Every book in the Old Testament does. Luke 24, that's what Jesus said on the road to Emmaus. Every single book, he revealed himself. Oh, man, tell me that wouldn't have been a great walk, that you would have been able to hear from the master exactly where he is in the Old Testament. He's all over it. Just the Christophanies, there's no less than 20. Maybe as many as 30 or more Christophanies in the Old Testament. The plural language that is used, I think you could probably say it's 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 it it doesn't directly support it because it wasn't intended to be that. But the application could work. What am I talking about? Elohim. El is God. Elohim is plural. Now, does that mean that it's a reference to the Trinity? Because the word Elohim is used, I think, 2,600 times in the Bible. And I think most scholars would say that was not the original intention. It was the royal plural, a majestic plural. But it wasn't referring to the Trinity directly. Now, could it support the Trinitarian doctrine? You can debate that over dinner if you would like to. The point is, in the Old Testament, Jesus is everywhere. The question is, where exactly can he be found? You need to follow, I think, pretty strict typological rules, because if you don't, you're going to become allegorical and you're going to be just a train wreck in about a heartbeat. Otherwise, you'll see him there. Having said all of that, if you can't preach Christ and exalt Christ, it's not a Christian sermon. If you don't preach about sin, I don't know how that could even be considered Christian. As a rule, a church that never talks about sin, I'm not sure that's a church. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies, Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can you talk about Christian things without talking about sin? Yeah, but this is Wretched Radio. A question sent to idea@wretched.org. Don't forget, you can text away at 877-282-2337 asking about a church that never preaches about sin. Can you deliver a Christian sermon without preaching about sin? Well, yeah, but it would actually be pretty hard. For instance, let's say there's going to be a topical sermon on the subject of joy. All right, so what brings you joy as a Christian? Go ahead, share that without talking about sin, because that is what brings joy, isn't it? That we've been reconciled immediately, that implicates all of us that we're sinners because we need reconciliation with our God. Why? Because our sin has set us at war with our God. You can't really talk about what true joy is without talking about sin. You can't talk about the Beatitudes. Sanctification. Nope, that's about sin. Doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Well, you can talk about some of what he does, but how's about, I think it's, you know, debatable, you could say his primary work is to convict the world of blank righteousness. Oh, that has to do with sin and justice. Oh, that has to do with sin too. So you could kind of talk all over the place, but I don't know how you can really present any theology in Christendom or any fruit of the Spirit that doesn't contain sin, because that is the fountain. Being forgiven for our sins, that's just it. That if you're going to boil down the Christian faith, it is about being forgiven by God because of Jesus. That's it. And so to talk about other subjects without it being connected to the foundation, really, I guess it could be done, but it's not going to be impactful and it will not be as potent, because Jesus dying for sinners, that's our cornerstone. Would you please send stuff also to 877-28? No, that's idea@wretched. You can text 87idea@wretched.go.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, on the issue of church discipline, what should a pastor look like to a member who has been brought under disciplinary action by a church? For example, should they be visited if they're in the hospital or if they're getting married and asked to be counseled and have their marriage officiated by the pastor? Should he still do so?
Under church discipline?
Uh-huh.
Well, if by under church discipline, you mean that the individual has been set out and you're waiting for a return? Am I interpreting that correctly?
That's the way I took it.
All right, that's what we're gonna work with. Then I would say at that time, until, oh, could you do those things? Oh, because if it hasn't been formalized, where it's like, that's it, the congregation has made the determination, you have not returned. So we are declaring what heaven has already thundered, you're out of here, because that's what church discipline is. We simply, by being very careful and thoughtful, we declare what heaven has already spoken and determine that individual is not saved. But I would say this, I think as a general principle, if somebody is under discipline to the level of the body that has, we've been met, they've been met with, whether it's with the body or not, church discipline, man, church discipline is all about sifting, in a sense. Is the individual wheat or tare? Is the individual in the kingdom or out of the kingdom? And so while you're going through that process, I would say as a general rule, I would lean toward that individual should expect nothing from the pastor, nothing, because you're setting yourself out. We don't know where you stand. I can't do a Christian wedding if I don't know that you're a Christian. Now, if you want to be counseled as a part of your understanding of your sin, yeah, I would do that. So that's why I say, as a general rule, services of the pastor for somebody who is in the process, I think I'm safe. I feel safe in saying that. not just after the process has concluded, but during the process. I don't think so, and I don't think the pastor should feel horrible about it. There's something sort of connected to this, that this is why I think church membership is so important. We actually, I believe, articulated this in the Alpharetta Bible Church, our corporate documents, that if you're not a member of the church, we will serve you if we can, based on resources and time, but you shouldn't expect it, because priority goes to members. And if you're, I understand there's some people maybe in the process, you would certainly make an exception for that. But if somebody's not a member, they should not feel put off if the pastor says, I can't do it. I got to take care of the people that God has given to me as members of this local body, because the guy can only do so much. And if you're not a member, you just, yeah, I don't think that you have the right to demand any sort of service, whether it's counseling, performing a marriage, burial, anything. All that to say, become a member of a local church. Membership has its privileges, including being taken care of by your elders. 877-28. Did you want to say something, Jimmy? You look like you kind of did.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that, my kind of position on it when I was pastoring was, if you're not a member, I'm not going to perform a wedding. If I don't know you and you've not been a member of my church, and so if you've been put out from church discipline, you're not a member at that point.
Well, but even in the process, all right, so I'm talking about the multiple-step process.
Okay.
We've gone to him not showing repentance. Okay, it hasn't been brought to the body yet. And the body hasn't set the individual out yet. And I think, in fairness, some time to go by to see if the individual is going to react. It's an arbitrary number. So that's, that can be months, that process. Right. I would, again, as a rule, say when that process starts, you're kind of in membership limbo at that point. And I don't think that the individual should expect it. And I don't see how it could work, actually. And why, furthermore, if you're not willing to repent of your sin, why do you want a church wedding? Why do you want a pastor residing over anyone? Why do you want biblical counseling if you're living in willful, persistent sin? And again, when I think about biblical counseling, if the individual said, hey, I know that you approached me about this sin, I haven't changed my mind about it, but hey, I'd like to get counseling. Well, I think that would be, okay, the individual at least is open to the rebuke. And that would be something that we would obviously then want to support. But if the individual is dead set in their sin, I don't understand why they would even want to be involved in the church at all. If you're not a member of a local church, please become one. We put into our documents also, into church polity, that we will only promise to marry people who are members of the church, that are active, in good standing members of the church. I think, by the way, that takes care of all of the potential dangers and lawsuits for having to perform a same-sex wedding. You have to be a member. And somebody who is living in willful, persistent sin wouldn't qualify as being a member, so you don't need to say no to them because you're not a member, and you can simply point to your church documents and say, well, there it is right there. Very sorry, no can do. I think churches should consider their marriage policies. That might be one of the best protectors there is, because should there come a time, I don't think we're in a dangerous season right now. I think we were like a year ago, but if it ever gets to the point where the Supreme Court determines, no, you have to marry somebody, you have to provide this service for people, you better be ready to have a mechanism put in place that says, we can't do it. And I think the best one is you've got to be a serving member. I'm speculating on this one. So pastor, do with this as you see fit. For the churches that have a statement about the definition of what marriage is and isn't, that statement was originally put into most church polity or both theological statements of faith to try to protect against the government's incursion on marriage. I'm not sure, but I see a way where that could actually be used against you now. If you haven't revisited that policy in a bit, you might want to take a look at it and send your thoughts, questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea at red. What's the matter, Jimmy?
Then I wanted to say one more thing about.
No, you didn't.
I did.
I smell smoke in here.
No, the other part of the question was not only about should the pastor marry and counsel someone under church discipline, but also should they be visited in the hospital by the pastor? And I would say there's no problem with that. I think the pastor would want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You bet. A lot of good ministry can happen in a hospital bed when somebody's confronted. By the way, if you didn't see the video that we posted about a week ago with Mike Fabares, please do. You'll have a new heart toward your pastor because he described the most painful thing that a pastor experiences is a member who leaves without ever saying goodbye because he said, hey, we'll get up at 2 a.m. to visit you in the hospital. And then you just leave us. It breaks our hearts. Don't do that. This is Wretched Radio.